Think big. Think positive. Never show any sign of weakness. Always go for the throat. Buy low, sell high. Fear, that's the other guy's problem. Nothing you have ever experienced can prepare you for the unbridled carnage you're about to witness. Right. Super Bowl, the World Series, they don't know what pressure is. In this building, it's either kill or be killed. Right. You make no friends in the pits and you take no prisoners.
No prisoners.
1 minute, you're up half a million in soybeans, and the next, boom, your kids don't go to college and they've repossessed your Bentley. Are you with me?
Hello and welcome to Turner's Take Podcast. I'm your host, Craig Turner, author of Turner's Take Newsletter. I send out a weekly newsletter giving our thoughts on the markets, and I'll include the podcast on it, but anyone with a podcast app could subscribe to the podcast for free. Also put out an email for clients. One is our market alert, and that is our spec ideas, and then there's the ag marketing, which is about for hedgers and farmers. You can visit us on the web at turnerstake.com, or if you're a farmer and a hedger, turnerstakeag.com. Work with farmers here, producers, spec traders, anything to do in trading the futures and commodity markets, online trading. I have a fantastic online platform here, and we also work with clients directly too. Alrighty, all my contact information is always in the show notes or on those websites. Feel free to contact me anytime. Okay, so last week was 4th of July week. It was kind of slow around here. I was in and out of the office. I hope you all had a nice 4th. Not a whole lot happened until Friday. Friday came around. That was the day where, you know, the United States started to officially enact or impose these tariffs, and nothing happened. You know, I'm sure these tariffs are going to happen. China said we're going to, the United States is escalating into a trade war. It's going to be the largest trade war ever, etc. And Friday came and gone. The markets ended up rallying. Kind of a classic sell the rumor, buy the fact. Trade, and it was a low volume market rally. I think beans were up 35 to 40 cents on Friday, and you know, corn was up around 10. We're giving it most of it back today, or half of it in beans and quite a bit of it in corn. And here we are, we're past 4th of July. You know, traditionally when we get past 4th of July, what we'll see is the grain market start to ease off as the crop is known or it's being made. But this year has been different. We've had some great conditions, which would have kept the markets in check regardless. But what's really kind of piled on here are the global issues between the United States and China on the soybean side, and then the United States with the rest of NAFTA on the corn side. And there's this question of exports. So, you know, going forward, what are we looking at for the grain markets? Corn, wheat, and soybeans. So I'm going to touch on wheat real quick and get that out of the way. We have a lot of wheat here in this country. There has been concerns about, you know, the dryness in the plains, and you know, the crop that has been harvested actually is looking better than they thought, and that has been a bullish and bearish effect. You can see that on the wheat market. Ultimately, it's bullish because we didn't have as much yield as we thought we would, even though the protein was a little bit better expected. Net bullish because we're just not going to have as much wheat as we originally thought at the beginning of the year. Spring wheat acres came in higher, a lot higher than we all thought they'd be. Maybe 6-7% higher from the last from the acreage report at the end of June, and that's going to hold a little heavy on that spring wheat contract. Even if we see, so when we do see rallies in wheat, I would think the winter wheat would outpace the spring wheat just because of that on the expected supply there. What has been a bit bullish for wheat is the weather in Russia and that Black Sea region has not been great. Germany has already said they're going to have lower production. They're saying they're going to have lower production in Russia. There's concern about Ukraine. And there have been some serious weather issues, and those are huge exporting nations. So you would think the lower the production out there, the better it'll be for wheat. So wheat should be supported. You know, Kansas City wheat in September, that hard red winter wheat. Looks like the lows of 472. Maybe stick in there for a little while. Right now we're about $5. I expect wheat to trade in this $5 range for a while, just based on what's going on in Europe in terms of the weather. And then we'll just have to reevaluate in the next couple of weeks. In the corn market, It's gonna be real interesting to see what the USDA says on Wednesday when we get the WASDE. You know, how much are they gonna improve yields? Is gonna be good. What are they gonna do about exports? Like the USDA made an announcement last week, I think it was Monday, that they are gonna have to adjust numbers for exports. Now, that's definitely gonna be on the soybean side, but what are they gonna do on the corn side? I mean, corn demand has been very strong, and do they leave it that way? I would think they would. I don't think the tariffs are going to really come into play with corn. I do think there's a big crop out there. We're talking about a 180-plus yield for a lot of the analysts just based on where good to excellent is. But, you know, as you talk through people in the Midwest, there are problem issues around there. And you kind of have to – and even in Iowa and Illinois. So you kind of have to wonder how good are the good areas, how bad are, you know, the problem areas, and what's that going to translate into? You know, does – you know, good to excellent of 10% better than last year automatically mean that we're going to have a 10% higher yield than last year? I don't think so. The numbers really don't add up that way. But it does mean we should be expecting at some kind of a bump. Whether it's 178, 180, 182 remains to be seen. But corn is going to be sensitive to that. While we try to figure out what exactly the carryout and the final yield is, what is going to be interesting for corn in the next couple months is we're going to see pressure just because at some point we're going to have a lot of the old crop have to come out of storage and be sold on the market. You know, last year we saw the same thing. We had a ton of old crop out there. And I think the lows for the year in the front month was the last business day in August, or maybe it was the first business day in September. But it was right there, right when the September contract goes into first notice day. Farmers need to start making, really at that point, not to make decisions on, are they going to get rid of their old crop roll forward contracts that they have locally with the elevator. There's a lot of decisions that need to be made in terms of delivery and storage at that time. And then with all, and what makes it even more important is not only just the roll and the cost of that, but the fact that oldest new crop is about to come to be put in storage if not sold. I would think those pressures remain in the corn market between now and August again this year. I would think exports continue to stay strong at these low prices. I think as we figure out the size of this crop and the fact that we got to get rid of old crop will be a little bit of a weight keeping corn down. But as soon as we get into the fall, as soon as we get into September, traditionally, you get a post-harvest rally, or really what you get is a during-harvest rally. You know, as soon as we start to harvest, you see the market start to firm up a little bit. But what's going to happen, too, is if tariffs stay on soybeans, we're going to give a lot of incentive to the South American farmer to plant as much soybeans as possible and less corn. So not only is demand going to stay strong, I think, and farmers are going to eventually have to get rid of a lot of old crop. Once we get into September and you get the post-harvest or the during-harvest rally going, we're going to be talking about stocks probably still being 2 billion or under, I would think, and how much. And I personally think we're going to see a lot less corn acres in South America. Now, that's a lot of time left for those decisions to be made. The market remains fluid, but let me tell you why I think that's going to happen. It has to do with law of unintended consequences. And think about this. Soybeans in the United States, let's say they're trading at $8.50. So if soybeans are $8.50, China wants to buy them from us, but they're going to get slapped with the 25% tariff that makes them about $10.60 in reality for them. Now that's about $2.10 over. And you go look at South America, where are beans trading? Well, there's a cash premium on soybeans in South America. And I've been seeing prices anywhere between $1.80 to $2 over. So really what South America is doing is saying, hey, you know, you're going to have to pay over $2 more for these soybeans in the United States. You can't just come here and buy them for $2 cheaper. We're gonna jack up the prices on you, which is what they're doing. And, you know, it's not going to be the full 25% markup, but it's going to be somewhere, you know, 20, 21, 22%, and China's going to have to buy it. They have no other real choice unless they have to go to the United States and buy it. So what's that going to do? Let's say you're a farmer in South America, and all of a sudden, you know, you can, you know, a few months ago, beans were locally, you know, were the equivalent of $8 in the United States and three and change, right? And now it's like, oh, we're going to mark up beans for you 20%, but not the same in corn. Well, whoever can grow beans down in South America, who is now looking at their 20% more for soybeans and not that 20% for corn. And I know there's taxes and imports and all that stuff going on down there too. But the incentive now to grow soybeans is a lot more attractive than corn. And even though soybeans are the big crop down there, I would think going forward into next year, corn does lose a good amount of acres. So we'll have lower corn acres in South America. We already only have 88 million acres here on a huge crop, right? And we need that huge crop this year. We have like a dream crop right now just to stay at 2 billion carryout, which is, you know, neither tight nor burdensome when you consider things. And that could be a story in the fall. The story in the fall could be we have a 2 billion carryout in corn. Exports are still strong. Corn's still cheap. And guess what? South America's doing less acres this year. They're really going to soybeans. Now, that is if between now and, let's say, the fall, we still have this tariff issue. We still have issues with the United States and China on trade. And if this is going to be a long, drawn-out story, then all of a sudden, I'm thinking we see a significant less acres of corn in South America. And that bull story could really start to help corn in the later half of 2018. You throw in some planting delays or weather issues with that, and then I think things can get really interesting for corn. The flip side on that is I'm not too thrilled about the situation for soybeans. If you think through what's going to happen with beans, China goes to South America to buy all those beans. Any of the traditional South American countries are definitely not going to buy, you know, that soybeans down there at a 20% markup when they can come to the United States and actually get the true cash value, because the tariffs don't apply to anyone else in the United States except for China. So let's say you had, I don't know, some European country come in who usually buys soybeans from Brazil, and they say, you know what, we're now going to buy soybeans from the United States. You know, the markup in Brazil is going to be like, you know, up to $10, but they can still buy them at $8.50 in the United States. So I think when we get to August and September and October, we're going to see a very large purchases start coming in to the United States, but instead of it being China, it'll be more traditional South American countries that basically got priced out of South America, because South America is now charging China higher prices. I think that's how it works out. Now, this is all, you know, as I said before, law of unintended consequences. And I think between now and September, things get kind of rough for the grain markets, or at best just choppy and all over the place. I do think we eventually see soybean demand come back to the United States from different countries just other than China. I think the corn market could really benefit at the end of this year with prices probably, you can make an argument, are just too low right now, and loss of South American acres. So we'll see what happens. Here's the deal. Soybeans, if we do get a ton of acres in South America, which could really, we could even go even farther next year or next season, I think what would be telling the market would be like, you got to plant less soybean acres in the United States and you got to plant more corn. And that may happen. And as long as these tariffs exist, that will happen. But if, you know, things get cleared up by the end of the July or through August, you know, maybe it doesn't. So it's a fluid situation. It's something we all got to pay attention to. And it's as we're doing our marketing plans over here for the next 6 months, like what are we going to do about old crop? What are we going to do about new crop? What are we thinking about next year? Are we going to do any hedges for 2019? Or on the spec side of, are we going to trade corn versus wheat? Are we going to start to look for opportunities in corn and soybeans? When would that be? And these are the factors we're thinking about right now. So I have been writing about hard red wheat versus soft red wheat. I think that's something that we like now. I think for corn, we have a game plan for when to get long, but that'd be towards the end of the summer. There are some short straddle ideas that I like, that I think we can benefit from during the chop But that is where we are. And if you're interested in those kind of things, you can contact me directly or go to the website and subscribe there. So that's how we we're viewing the grain markets. I think that's the short term and the long term that we're looking at. And you know, there is a light at the end of the tunnel. I'm more concerned about beans to the downside than I'm about corn right now. I think corn, eventually everything works out for them. And again, the wild card is how big is this crop? But we're already pricing in a huge crop. And I think the number one issue that we have to get through now before we can really get more confident in being bulls is some kind of progress on trade. And as soon as we can just get that going, and hopefully this thing gets sorted out sooner rather than later, then we can be a lot more bullish. But we're getting to prices here where I think we're seeing value, especially in the corn market. And I do like some of these spreads that are coming up too. So hope everyone had a great 4th of July. Feel free to contact me anytime. I always appreciate emails. And if you know anyone who likes podcasts, please just pass this along. It is a free podcast, and my weekly newsletter is also a free resource out there too. So have a great day. Thank you so much to everyone for listening, and I'll talk to you next time.
This material is conveyed as a solicitation for entering into a derivatives transaction. This material has been prepared by a Daniels trading broker who provides research market commentary and trade recommendations as part of his or her solicitation for accounts and solicitation for trades. Daniels Trading, its principals, brokers, and employees may trade in derivatives for their own accounts or for the accounts of others. Due to various factors such as risk tolerance, margin requirements, trading objectives, short-term versus long-term strategies, technical versus fundamental market analysis, and other factors, such trading may result in the initiation or liquidation of positions that are different from or contrary to the opinions and recommendations contained therein. Past performance is not necessarily indicative of future performance. The risk of loss in trading futures contracts or commodity options can be substantial, and therefore investors should understand the risks involved in taking leveraged positions and must assume responsibility for the risks associated with such investments and for their results. You should carefully consider whether such trading is suitable for you in light of your circumstances and financial resources. You should read the risk disclosure accessed at www.danielstrading.com. Daniels Trading is not affiliated with, nor does it endorse any trading system, newsletter, or similar service. Daniels Trading does not guarantee or verify any performance claims made by such systems or services.